Welcome back to another episode of Black by Popular Demand. I'm your host, CJ Bowens, and today I got a couple things I want to go over with you guys. The first thing is, yet again, I did take another break. I do apologize to you guys, because I know a lot of people kind of feel like I gave up on the podcast, which I didn't. It's just been, again, some mental issues and things that I've been trying to handle on my end, but with the new year being here, I do want to establish some changes. The first thing I want to establish here is I'm going to get a set schedule. I'll be dropping episodes on Monday and Wednesday, 1 to 2 for those 2 days. I'm going to start to get a consistent schedule so I can continue to build this back up. We're going to do this the right way. The second thing is I am launching a Twitch. And for those days that I don't particularly do a pre-recorded episode, I'll go live. We can talk there, because there is so much we have to cover. And I appreciate the support and the people asking me to do another episode and everything like that. Came to a realization today, this is short notice. I didn't do any promo for the episode or anything like that. I just simply said, today is the day. I'm going to get on the mic. I can flow naturally with everything. Everything can come naturally. I don't have to read off a script. A lot of people don't know this, but with my podcast, it's not scripted. There's nothing scripted about it, right? I strictly do it from the heart. And if I feel like I don't have anything on my heart, I don't really feel the need to deliver that to you. You guys want real, raw, and authentic content, and I will be providing that for you guys. Now that we got that, the more serious stuff out the way, we got a lot of things to cover today. One of them is going to end up being, we're going to cover SZA's album. I'm a huge SZA fan. I don't know if some of my viewers know this, but I am a huge SZA fan. We're also going to cover some of the things that went down before the year ended. This includes Tory Lanez being found guilty on all 3 counts, as well as we're going to cover, essentially, we're going to wrap up 2023 so we can go ahead and get started with 2022, excuse me, and we can go ahead and get started with 2023. So we're going to go ahead and take it off here. I'm going to throw an ad right here, and we're going to dive right into it, guys. Thank you. So the first thing I want to cover is the Meg and Tory situation. So there was a lot of speculation on who was right, who was wrong. There was a lot of bullshit that was going on, and I didn't cover it on the podcast. I touched on it with the DaBaby podcast. You could, you know, go down and watch that episode. I kind of covered it, but I didn't touch on it because not enough information was out. But if you follow me on social media, you know, you follow me on Facebook, you follow me on anything else, you kind of know already how I feel about it. I was telling folks it didn't make sense from Tory's perspective on all types of fronts. So I'm going to give you essentially how I feel about it. One, what it looks like to me, of course, was they may have gotten drunk. I don't know the specifics of that because there's certain things that, you know, we do not know. But from what we have gathered, Tory was fucking Kelsey and Meg. Now, who he was fucking first, I don't really know. That's kind of irrelevant, but that's where the fight started. Now, there have been speculation and rumors that Meg was jumped. Meg never said that herself. No one else in the story has led with that. But all of it points to one thing. The biggest thing it points to is Meg got shot. Now, a lot of people don't remember this, but at the very beginning, when this shit kind of started to take off a couple years ago, the first thing that was said was Meg stepped in glass, yada, yada, yada. This is when it first started off. Excuse me. And that was said by Tori in his camp. Now, Meg eventually went on IG Live and was telling folks, I tried to save you, and everything of that nature. And Tori was like, we all know you stepped in glass, da da da, you lying, blah 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 blah. So this to me was when I was like, oh, so you did do that shit. The doctor basically came out and was like, yeah, these are bullet fragments. Okay. So then magically Tori goes on IG Live and he was like, okay, so how you have bullet fragments in your foot and it didn't hit no bones and tendons? And for some reason, like, niggas ate that up. I wasn't sure why. I was sitting there like, there's a such thing as flesh wounds. You know what I'm saying? Every bullet don't hit a tendon or a bone. That's not how that works. If you've operated with guns, you know this. So anybody with some sense should have been like, that doesn't clear you. You never denied that she was shot. You said, how you get shot if it didn't hit no bones and tendons? Not only did he do that in an IG Live, but, you know, he made a whole album basically trying to clear his name and make it seem like folks got it out for him. And it's not that deep. Okay. So then more time progresses. We get messages. We get this. We get that. This entire time, Tori is saying, you know, he's antagonizing this girl. He, shut up, Marcus the horse. And when I get off, this, that, and the third. Right before the case started, which is crazy enough, he went on an interview and people were like, well, why didn't you defend yourself fully? And he was like, well, the truth will come out, this and the third, and I'll be taking the stand, yada yada yada. Fast forward to the court date. He didn't take the stand. Majority of it was him pleading the fifth, a lot of that. So we find out Kelsey sent a message at 4 a.m saying, help, Tori shot Meg. Another damning piece of evidence. We also find out via a, and you can look this up right now, via a jail call when he got booked that night, we find out that he tried to pay Meg and Kelsey off. And he was like, it wouldn't have been so bad if I wasn't drunk. It wouldn't have happened if I wasn't drunk. He literally told on himself. So now I'm looking at it like, bro, you went on this whole press run and did a whole album pleading your innocence, but you already told on yourself and Kelsey told on you too, basically. What was the point? And I think the sad part is folks tore down this woman. This is, I don't know Meg personally, obviously. None of us do. But I look at it in a real situation because a lot of folks wanted, even when we were staring the evidence in the face, right? A lot of folks wanted Meg to be wrong just for what? Just a lot of niggas wanted her to be wrong just so they could say, this is why you don't believe all women. And that's a scary thought, especially as a man who's raising a daughter. The fact that people want her to be wrong out of spite. They don't care about the scenario or the situation. That's a very, very concerning thing to me. I don't like, if someone's wrong, they're wrong, cool, whatever. But people wasn't given valid evidence for why they felt like she was wrong. And even now that, you know, a jury of his peers found him guilty, people are saying he's framed. And it's like, it's a fucked up situation to me because I can believe that she was trying to protect him. I can believe that with everything that goes on. And now it's like, it's a lose-lose situation because you lied for him and you covered for him. People don't believe nothing you're saying now that you're like, nah, actually what happened was. And it's like, if she told on him, she would have been looked at as disloyal. If she told on him from day one, but now nobody believes you, now that you're telling the truth. It's a terrible situation to be in. And I hope she's able to heal from that. And, you know, she's able to continue making music because, I mean, I think her music's decent. I can't lie. I don't have a problem with Tori's music, but Tori, as a person, he's very volatile. He's very angry. He has a quick temper. short man syndrome. Like, he has to put his hands on people. We see the situation with August Alsina, which might be another case pending, but that'll be another, that'll be for another episode. All in all, it's, I can't really give you guys a message on this outside of, like, if somebody shoots you, I'm talking to my women here, like, if somebody shoots you, go ahead, tell, bro, because you have a nigga like this flex on you, like, you crazy and you lying just to do it. Because again, men get lied on for a variety of things. It happens. But in this particular situation, we got a guy who was caught red-handed, right? And he made a lot of people believe he didn't do something. He genuinely did. And the only thing people can say is, well, she lied about this. Well, she lied about them being involved. Of course she lied about them having sex. She's embarrassed. That's not, she's not on, but what people didn't understand was Megan Pete was not on trial, my guy. She's not on trial. So her saying, oh, me and him weren't sexually involved, like, we, even I could tell by her body language and how she was talking, like, of course she didn't want to admit that. But does that dismiss her case? No. If someone I used to talk to, if a woman I used to talk to stabbed me and someone just ran, like, we in the midst of a legal battle and I'm still traumatized from that. If you ask me if we had sex, I don't want to talk about that. Like, that, it's irrelevant to my whole case. And while I'm here, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is, do you feel as though this person did this to you? That's my whole thing with this. A lot of people were losing sight of the main issue. The fact that this man is a felon and cannot have firearms. Then people changed the story and was like, well, Kelsey shot at her and then he took the gun away and then he shot all of that into the air. Not only is that bullshit, but let's give the benefit of the doubt here, right? Let's say that really happened. Do you think you're going to be able to convince 3/4 of your jury that that really happened? And even if that did, let's say that did happen, why would you not go to the stand and tell them that and provide evidence? And let's go even further back. Are we going to assume Kelsey's this criminal mastermind? Is that what we're going to assume? She sent that text at 4 a.m. to set Tori up. At what point does this become a stretch? You feel what I'm saying? At what point do we say, I don't know? And that's kind of where I'm at with that. It's like everything that people are saying in terms of a conspiracy, it does not flow. It doesn't conjoin together. It doesn't come full circle like most conspiracies. I hate to say it, Tory Lanez fans, y'all got to take that L. That's what it is. And that's all I have for that segment. I'm going to place another ad here. We're going to go ahead and dive into SZA's album. I'm not going to do a full review. I am going to kind of talk about how she got where she is now and what potentially might be next. Thank you guys for listening. Hi, and now we end this episode with my lovely, lovely SZA. Back in 2020, COVID year, SZA dropped a sample called Shirt. We didn't know if it was going to be called Bloodstains or Shirt. We ended up finding out it was going to be Shirt. It's a great sample. It's Bloodstains in my shirt, new bitch on my nerves, old nigga got curved, going back on my word, damn bitch you like dirty. And that was it. Now, if you know anything about social media and you know anything about TikTok, you'll know this sound. We lived off this sound, especially me. I'm a SZA fan. I love SZA. I love everything about her. You know what I'm saying? I love her music. I love her aura. I love all of that, right? So, lived off of that sample for like 1 to 2 years. She would drop something every so often, but not really, you know. She wasn't really being consistent. You could tell there were issues with her label and what she was able to drop. We would get little leaks every so often, but we wouldn't get anything much. So rearing up to 2021, we wasn't really hearing much about her. She was doing her own thing. And then midway through 2022, nearing October or November, we started getting more and more music. So we ended up getting, I'm trying to remember the song that ended up being played. What did she play at Saturday Night Live? She ended up doing the full song Blind. And that was probably the only song leak we got right before the album dropped. And we were already, she dropped Shirt before she dropped the album. She dropped the video to Shirt because she had realized we had already been waiting since 2020. She dropped that video, and then we pretty much found out that was going to be on the album. That's why it was withheld for so long. She had an album she had been working on. So slowly but surely, the list of songs started to come out. But for some reason, and I say for some reason because in 2023, it's hard to avoid getting an album leaked, getting any of your music leaked. It's damn near impossible. Unless the people in your camp have said, we're going to make sure that this does not get out until you want this to get out. So what ended up happening is she played one song that wasn't on the album. She performed Big Boys on Saturday Night Live. We don't know if that's going to be on the next album. We're going to get to that in a few. But then she actually performed Blind completely. Now, we got a snippet of Blind at the end of the Shirt video. So, I'm not going to spoil the album for those that haven't heard it, but this is definitely a great album. I would say 9 out of 10. There were like 2 songs that I didn't too much care for. But all in all, you can tell there was nothing impeding her. She worked on this. It was very good. I personally think it's probably going to win a Grammy. I would be hard-pressed to find another album that wins over her. It's an early favorite for the Grammys next year. Right now, Kill Bill is like top 5 tracks right now. It's listed as on the top 100. It's peaked at like 2. I think it slipped down to 5. A lot of her music is just all together in the top 100. I'm going to tell you what speaks to SZA as an artist. The fact that it's been 2, 3, 4 years since Control dropped. And that's still trending in the 100s because we genuinely just miss her music. Her fan base is solid. I'm one of those people, I've been listening to a lot of her old music for a while. I have no shame in saying that. So, like I said, the album's solid. I'm going to take another episode aside to do a full album review. We'll break down, you know, the music itself, the beats. We'll get into the meat and potatoes of that. But I just want to, you know, this segment is more to explain the future of SZA. Now, I've kind of been doing a little digging around. And this is just a theory. But I think SZA's final album is going to be named No Control. Here's the reason why. When you go to the Shirt video, after she gets shot in that video and the guy drives away in the car, on the back of the tag it says No Control. That's Easter egg number 1. Easter egg number 2, in Seek and Destroy, she has those in her lyrics. No control, I'll do it to you, do it to you. Throughout this album, she kept using the phrase no control. And that was purposeful. In her videos, you see no control. It was very, very intentional. It was almost as if she was hinting toward her final studio album, which might mark the end of her relationship with TDE. Same thing with Kendrick, where Kendrick dropped Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. And now he's officially done with TDE. I think SZA's time with TDE is coming to an end. She's realized that TDE, as with most recording labels, they're making way too much money off of me, and I'm the reason why I'm this popular. I think my biggest fear is with the No Control album. I don't want it to be like, I'm a huge Kendrick fan as well. I don't want it to be like Kendrick's album where it was okay, but it wasn't Kendrick's standards. I don't like the last two albums from Kendrick. I've been adamant with that. I've talked to my boys about this shit. I didn't care for Damn that much. I do not care for Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers that much. I feel like those albums are okay, but they can't compare to Pimp a Butterfly and Good Kid, Mad City. And honestly, Damn can't compare to Section 80. But, you know, I'm very happy for SZA. This is someone who bounced back from her vocal cords being strained when she was sick and she couldn't hit the notes that she wanted to. This is someone who has overcome a lot of adversity and a lot of bullshit along the way. So I'm happy to see her in this era of resurgence. I'm excited for her, and I'm ready to see the new music she drops. Still, I hope there's an announcement for No Control. I really do. But remember, I mentioned it first because I caught on early. That's all I have for you guys today. I appreciate you guys for the support and the love. We're going to, like I said in the first segment, my episodes are now going to be on Monday and Wednesday. And on the days I don't, I'll be sure to stream so we have something to talk about. We'll be able to look at things together, discuss, chat, just do what we do here. My name is CJ. Thank you for listening to Black by Popular Demand. Y'all have a good night.